Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. It's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Our love to spirituality.
It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Happiness Specialist, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you for being here. Thank you to my listeners that I've had for years and years. And welcome all the new listeners that I'm getting every week. I don't know how this show is growing, but it's growing. And I really appreciate the new listeners and contributions to the show. Last week we had a few people call in, and the call-in number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Now, reality spirituality, what do we do on this show? Reality spirituality, who's this Rebecca L. Norrington? What's with the L in her name anyway? Well, Samuel L. Jackson, Rebecca L. Norrington. How's that? If he can do it, I can do it. I don't know. I just love the way that sounds. And anyway, I digress. What I do on this show is share with you, when I say happiness specialist, what I do is share with you what I've learned. When I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And that question, that search for happiness was a lifelong, every day. I was looking for it. I thought, like most people, I was programmed to think that my happiness was going to come from finding that right person. I was programmed to believe that my happiness was going to come from my achievements, my accomplishments, my awards, not to mention all the money in my bank account, not to mention the bank account balance. I was programmed to believe that my happiness was going to come from anything that I did. I used to think that, I travel. I want to go here. I remember thinking when I used to ski, I remember thinking that I want to ski all of the best ski areas in the world. I really did. I believe that since I love skiing, I went to Switzerland. Oh, you can't get any bigger than Switzerland. And then I found out there's a place in Val, it's called Val d'Isère, France, supposedly the largest skiing area in the world. Oh, I have to go there. So, listen, when I tell you I'm just like you, I'm just like you. But what I found after all of those trips and all of the accomplishments and finding my, you know, Prince Charming that ended in a divorce after 9 years. Listen, he's a great guy, though. We're the best of friends, and he's a really good guy. But I found that all of those things that I thought was going to bring me happiness just didn't, left me empty. Oh, I might have been happy for a moment or two, but it's just like eating junk food. I've said this before. It's just like eating junk food. It's never satisfying. So I went on this search, and I'm actually talking to the new listeners here just for a moment. Bear with me, my steadfast people that have been with me for years. Listen to that. There's an airplane. Usually I don't hear anything in the forest, and now I hear an airplane going over. Anywho, where was I? I forgot. What I want to say is this search for happiness, took me to a place where the only answers, the search came all the way back to me, came all the way back to the person in the mirror, came all the way, did a boomerang, had nothing to do with what I did, had nothing to do with what I accomplished, had nothing to do with how much money I made or how little money I had, had nothing to do with how much I weighed. It had something to do with an internal thermostat, an internal setting. And that's what I share with you on the show, what I've discovered, what I've learned about how to experience happiness, regardless of what happens to you. I don't care if it's a health issue. I don't care if it's a global pandemic. I don't care who wins the election. It doesn't, what team, you know, now we're into the NBA playoffs. Don't get me started on that stuff because, boy, oh, boy, I'm very judgmental on that. Football season, all of it. It doesn't matter what happens outside. How can I be happy? How can I be at peace? Regardless of the whirlwinds, regardless of the storms, regardless of what I'm bombarded with on the outside, is it even possible? How did I get to a place where things that happened to me affected my peace? How did I get to a place where my circumstances was the reason for how I felt? And that's what I share on this show. And you know what's really interesting? The universe has, I use the term universe. People have different terminologies. It doesn't matter to me what word you use. It doesn't, and let me say this, for all my atheist friends out there, you're welcome here too, because this is not really a belief in a, let's see, how do I put this? Now, it's not a religion. Happiness is a formula. There is a formula, just like there is a formula for water. There's a formula for gravity. Happiness. Is there a formula for gravity? Well, anyway, gravity. Is there a formula for gravity? Well, just like there's a formula for silver, there's formulas for. I know what is that? The relativity. Einstein's. Oh Lord, now I'm going blank here. Theory of relativity. Anyway, there's a formula for that. Yeah, I think that is gravity. So there is a formula for happiness. Happiness is a practiced skill. And like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice and you know what to practice and you know what to eliminate, and it is a daily practice, it is a moment-by-moment practice, the better results. So the question that you ask yourself is, are you ready to prioritize and commit to happiness over everything else? And when I say happiness, I'm talking about a state of being at peace, feeling content, feeling a deep sense of satisfaction, feeling an energy of balance, feeling at one with yourself and the world at all times. It doesn't matter what happens to you. And so my definition of happiness is being able to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And with that, I have a one-on-one relationship with the universe. It is constant. It is constant. It is active every single moment. It is living consciously in every. The only time, I'm going to say the only time am I not conscious is when I'm sleeping. I'm even conscious when I'm watching television. It's really crazy because I know when I'm judging somebody on TV, I can feel it. Oh, you're judging. Oh, you're judging someone. This practice is constant awareness, self-awareness, and being constantly conscious at all times. And also recognizing the programs. Now, when I say the programs, you know, none of us were born having judgments. None of us were born. Listen, if I went to a one-year-old, I was sitting in the same room with a one-year-old, and you know, he's in his playpen. One-year-old. I'll just stay with one. And I just told this is before they could speak, of course, you know, little children taught before they can speak. I said, you know, both of your parents were just killed in a car accident. And by the way, you're getting evicted. You're going to be a loser for life. You're ugly. You're stupid. I mean, the one-year-old would have absolutely no concept of what I'm saying. So when I say come back to that space, come back to that place, before the programming of, oh, this is right and this is wrong, before the programming of judgment, self-judgment, before the programming of knowing how to criticize, before the programming of telling yourself a story about how you're feeling and why you're feeling it. This show today, I mean, I think it's revolutionary. Let me just say this. It's revolutionary for me. I've been on this kick, this storytelling kick, how I'm feeling. Oh, I'm feeling this way because this happened, because something happened, and that's why I'm feeling. Oh, I'm angry because I'm talking to customer service and they're asking all the questions that it just drives me up the wall. Can I help you with anything else? How are you doing today? And it's endless, the questions. Questions are endless. You go out in the real world, you go to the bank, and it's, how's your day going? I mean, those questions, those program questions, trust me, catch me on an off day, and it drives me through the roof. Because my thought, my story is, oh, they're just programmed. They can't be. You see, they're just robots. I'm in a world. I'm surrounded by robots. Hey, wake up, everybody. Why don't you wake up? I mean, how can you ask me? How can you say, have a nice day, and it's 7 o'clock in the evening? Yeah, I think of things like that. That really bothers me. Well, it can bother me. But let me share a secret. That's the story I say. The story is, if somebody says to me at 7 o'clock in the evening, have a nice day, oh, that's the reason why that bothers me. That's the reason why my buttons are pushed. That's the reason why I'm triggered. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to share with you. I think it's revolutionary. It's a new path I'm going on. It's not the story. It's the season. It's not the story. It's the season, meaning that it doesn't matter what anyone says to me. It doesn't matter what happens. It's just time for me to feel aggravated. It's time for me to be irritated. It's just time. It's the season for me to be annoyed. It's the season for me to judge. See? It's really letting each and every one of us off the hook and letting go of the stories. It's not the story. And that's going to be my third book. I know I haven't even finished my second book. My third book, I don't even know, but I'm telling you, this is really strong for me. It's not the season. Oh, crap, I already messed it up. It's not the story. It's the season. So the stories are the reason why we feel a certain way, we are acting a certain way, because of the belief in the story. But what if, here we go, put your seatbelt on for this, put your seatbelt on, here we go. What if we were all here to experience different seasons? And by different seasons, I mean I'm talking about a full gamut, not just four seasons. I'm talking about feeling, experiencing dramatic, complication, uncertainty, feeling happy, fearful, hopeful, trusting, lack of trust, betrayal, sadness, joy, excitement, justice. I'm going back and forth. The opposite, hope, depression, balanced, relaxed, satisfaction, dissatisfaction, feeling high, feeling low, triumphant feelings, yay, I won, defeat, oh, I lost, notice, unnoticed, open, being closed, loving, hatred, mourning, grief, death, all of it. I'm going to throw in suicidal too. What if, without the stories, we were all here to experience all the different seasons? All of the different emotions, meaning seasons, same thing, emotions, experiences, emotions, feeling, all of it. I mean, I've heard this, there's nothing new under the sun, from relationships to, you know, your family not speaking, betrayals in the family. I mean, come on. There was a history, decades, thousands and thousands of human conditions. What if we were all from slavery to freedom? What if we were all here to experience all of the seasons without adding a story to it? It's not the customer service person that, or the bank teller telling me at 7 o'clock, have a good day, that irritates me. It's not that. It's just time for me to feel irritated. See, the attachment of a story on my emotion keeps me telling more stories. Now, let me say this. I don't know about you, but this was very freeing for me. And anybody out there who already knew this and already got it, well, good for you. I'm late to the dinner party. Because I don't know why this clarity, this it started with really eliminating the stories more and more and more. And the stories are all authored by the ego. Some people say the ego, some people call it the critical mind, you know, that voice in our head that always tells us there's something wrong. There's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong with the world. You know that voice. Put a label, whatever label you want to put on it. That's that energy that I'm talking about. That's that voice that I'm talking about. You know the one that never shuts up, the one that when I wake up in the morning, I have all these thoughts and none of them are, hey, this is going to be a glorious day. In fact, I remember last night, oh, gee, I had a dream about cleaning, how everything in here was just not clean. I mean, even sometimes in the dreams, the stories are overwhelming. Having a dream about cleaning, that's crazy. Anywho, where was I? Now, when I had this revelation, this is a personal revelation, about really starting to recognize the stories and eliminate the stories and just accept, okay, it's just time for you to feel lonely, or it's just time for you to feel sad, or it's just time for you to feel joyful and wow, just, you know, full of life. You know the different gamuts of the emotion. It's just time. I don't know why that movie Castaway, and I didn't even know it was two words. I thought it was Castaway, one word. You know, like Gilligan's Island, the castaways. But no, it's cast, second word, away. Castaway. And if you haven't seen it, it's with Tom Hanks. If you haven't seen it, it is a movie that has become, in the last few days, more interesting to dissect than anything besides The Matrix. I don't know if you're Matrix fans out there, big Matrix fan, but this movie, Castaway, just hit me. I've seen that movie, Castaway, so many times, and I might have owned it. Remember when we had a tape, videotapes, VCRs. I had it on a VCR. I love that movie so much. And it wasn't until the last maybe few days or a week at the most that I came up with that the universe inspired me to look at the movie like this. And I've seen the movie so many times that I have my favorite parts. So it's very rare that I watch the movie from the beginning to the end. If the movie is taped and I've taped it, you know, you tape and you just keep it, and then sometimes I delete it, and then it's on again, and I tape it again, and then after a few weeks, I delete it. I have a relationship with that movie, Castaway, and I didn't even realize why until a few days ago. But what I was saying is I don't watch the movie all the way through. That doesn't make sense. Of course, it makes sense to anybody that wants to watch it all the way through. But I have my favorite scenes. I have several favorite scenes. And I usually start watching them. I like it at the end, but I like when he's getting on the plane and he says, "I'll see you soon." Or what does he say? He doesn't say, "I'll see you soon." Or, "I'll see you in 2 weeks," or something like that. I like that scene. And then I watch a little bit of the scene on the airport where he loses his little pocket watch. And then I watch the scene. I really love the scene 4 years into the – now, for people that haven't seen it, just turn this off for maybe a minute because I don't want to ruin it for you. Skip through 30 seconds. The 4 years later scene, and he's nice and trim. You remember how he couldn't catch the fish, and then all of a sudden he's nice and trim, and he spears the fish in one swoop. I like that scene, too. I mean, there are a few really good scenes that I love, 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 love. And so I fast forward to all my favorite scenes. But I've seen it, and seen the scene so many times. What the hell is my point? My point is this. And this morning I looked up three surprising facts about Castaway. And one of the things that I read was, that the screenwriter stranded himself on an island for research purposes. And so the person that wrote the script, so he did learn how to open a coconut. He tried to make a fire. All of these things. So he was doing research for the movie. And another thing that I learned that Tom Hanks, I'm trying to read it really quick. Tom Hanks was really wanting to tell the story that he says was verboten in mainstream movies, taking the concept of a guy trapped inside the elements with no external forces, no pirates, no bad guys, and tell it in a way that challenged the normal cinematic narrative structure. So it wasn't anything external that happened to Tom Hanks. I mean, there wasn't any stock market crash, somebody in his life is being murdered. No, this was all him and the elements. And if you watch the movie, his evolution as a person, you know how many times I've talked on this show about growth, personal growth, spiritual growth, monitoring your growth. And the growth, the individual growth I mean, his as a person, he grew from being this asshole, time, anxiety-driven, productivity, you know, snap, let's go, can't waste time, and I was the same, can't waste time, and all of a sudden he finds himself on this island for a long time. So his whole attachment to time, wasting time, using time, his relationship with time was shattered. And one of the things that I shared on this show is, what adds to happiness? What are the behaviors? What are the components? What are the practices that are guaranteed, formulated, that are going to add to your happiness? Well, one of the things in the movie is the last spoken words. And I went to the scene because I didn't even remember this. But his last spoken word in that movie, Tom Hanks, is thank you. And so one of the practices to experience, and I know we've heard this, being grateful. I know, gratitude, and listen. The thing about gratitude is, it is a practice. But I'm going to say that gratitude can't be forced. Gratitude is a feeling that overcomes. Let me just speak for myself. It's just a feeling that overcomes me, that overwhelms me at different times. I want to be grateful for being alive, and I want to be grateful for all of this stuff. But the truth is, for me, gratitude happens when I least expect it, least plan it. It just is a feeling, an experience of it's like the sun goes down and just comes. So you're having a cloudy day, and then the day is cloudy. It just finished raining, and then the sun comes out, and you feel the warmth of the sun. We don't know when the sun is going to come out, but for me, gratitude is just, I can't plan it. It just happens. I can't, for me. Now, people might be different, but gratitude for me is just a feeling, a vibration that I cannot plan to have. Now, what happens is when I, of course, made the commitment to practice, and again, practice, happiness is a practice skill. When I made the commitment to practice, to wanting to experience, to wanting to be happier, and again, happiness is the same as peace, contentment, balance, satisfaction, all of that. It's a vibration. It's a vibrational place. It's a vibrational sense. And when I made the commitment to practice that, I have a lot more of those feelings of gratitude, if you will, connected. You know, I'm connected to the universe, and they're very overwhelming. They're very powerful. Usually, I can burst out crying. Just, you know, people look at me for no reason, for every reason. I had a sense the other day when I was on the cycle, when I was on a cycle bike, I was exercising all by myself. The class that I wanted to join was canceled, and I went in and I said, I got my phone with me, I can put on some music, and I just started riding the bike. And if you know me, I used to teach cycle classes when I was in California. I taught cycle classes for over 10 years. Now let's see, I moved in 2017, so I taught cycle classes for 9 years, almost 10 years. And there were times, you know, toward the end of my reign, when I knew I was moving out of the state, I said, okay, this is going to be my last week of teaching cycle classes. Last weekend, there was an overwhelming sense of, oh, this is a part of life that I'm not going to experience anymore. And, you know, the thoughts come in and the eyes eyes water and wah. So on Friday, I'm looking in the mirror on my cycle bike, and I'm, you know, remembering and having reminiscing, and I'm cycle. But it wasn't a sad crying. It was a wow, you're on the cycle bike, and it was just an overwhelming sense of, if you want to put a label on it, connection, gratitude. You could still ride the bike. Oh, this is, remember this song, and used to ride to this song. You know, all of the reminiscing would come back, and I was overwhelmed, and I was boo-hooing while I was exercising. Boo-hooing. But it was a good boo-hoo. You know, they say happy tears is one of good boo-hoos. I'm way off the track, but I wanted to share with you. So this gratitude, this feeling, overwhelming feeling that connects you, or you feel connected. We've all experienced that. We've all had that. I know you have, every single one of us. And this movie, Castaway, has all the emotions, all the experiences that any one person in life can have. I read a few of them because I start writing down, and these kids keep writing and writing and writing. But the movie shows bits of being fearful, trusting, scared, balanced, happy. But mostly, listen, it's a whole movie of acceptance of circumstances, acceptance of where you are in the moment, even to the point of this guy got to the point where he made fire out of nothing. He finally made fire after, remember, cutting his hand. Remember how many tries he had to make fire? And then one time he just slit his hand open, and he was mad, and he was pissed, and he was cursing God, and who knows what else. With us, we have all, everything that man experienced. I know it's a movie, but it's a great movie if you're wanting to dig and dissect it for the secrets of this life, secrets of having a happier life. Now, when he was this ranting, look at the time, that was a life full of anxiety. That was a life full of. I mean, of course, I'm making the way I would. I wouldn't want to live like that. Rushing, looking at the clock, looking at the clock. He was even at a Thanksgiving dinner looking at the clock. And I remember his fiancée, she put her head down. You're always looking at your pager. Oh, that's when pagers were in. You're always looking at your pager. I mean, she felt, we're at Thanksgiving dinner and you can't even not look at your pager. You know, they call it a workaholic. He was a workaholic. And this man went through a transformation, not only workaholic, so now he's in the middle of plane crashing, doesn't even know if you're going to die. I mean, can you imagine? Listen, I remember I had a circumstance in my life that I thought I could die. I actually thought I could die. It was one day skiing, and I remember it was with my husband at the time, and we went up all the way to the top of the hill, and we were in Val d'Isère, France, and we were all the way up the top of the hill, and we did not heard about a snowstorm. They weren't letting anybody else up on the lifts. We didn't know about it. We didn't hear about it. Here we are, two losers. Two Americans getting ready to ski down from the very top. And I remember getting off the lift and thinking, where is everybody? I'll never forget it. Where is everybody? Nobody was around because nobody was skiing because everybody heard that you don't want to ski today. The conditions aren't going to be very good. The conditions, we're going to have snow. You're not going to be able to see. Your visibility is going to be. And I remember, well, where the hell? Because usually, you know, you got people with you. No, I was up there. Wow, this is great. Nobody's around. I remember starting to ski. This was in the early 80s. I remember starting to ski down. We were skiing down, and we went from the side roads, side road, the side area, you know, it's just trees and snow. You always want to snow. You always want to ski powder. You don't want to ski where people have skied. You want to fresh snow. And I remember going down one area, and there was absolutely no one around. I didn't know how to get back down. There wasn't a trail, and it was starting to get really, really cold. And it was snowing. And then I don't remember exactly. My ex-husband would have, he's got such a great memory. He remembers everything. I remember there was a time where we looked at each other, and I don't know who said it first, but my hands were so cold, I couldn't bend. You couldn't bend at the knuckles. My hands were so cold, and we said, you know what, we have to go back up. We can't go down. If we keep going down, who knows how long. We're already freezing. So we went to a, and I'm just going to make this a short story because, you know, listen, you know, I could go off forever. We had to walk up the hill, and you have to sidestep. You can't walk up a hill with your skis facing toward the mountain. You have to sidestep up. And we sidestepped up. I don't know how long it took, but we finally got to the rope toe. And it's a rope toe. It's a pulley. It's a rope that's on a pulley, and it just keeps moving, and it keeps moving and moving and moving. And so you hang on to it, and it'll take you right up. It'll take you up. There was nobody around. We were the only people there, and my hands were getting colder and colder. So the rope pulley, I remember he tried to go up. I tried to go up. No, he tried, and he got all the way up. And I tried to hold on to that rope, and I fell. And I just was holding on to that rope, and it just dragged me. I couldn't stand up. It just dragged me through the snow. And my husband, he said he almost started crying because a lot of help he was. Why wasn't he down there helping me? He said he started crying because all he saw was this little, because I always wore black. My house was always black. I just saw this little black outfit, you know, holding onto the rope being dragged through the snow up the hill. And I had to hold on with all my might. It wasn't just holding on and no. I knew I couldn't let go, and whether I fell or I stood up. Anyway, that's my story of almost dying. What is my point? My point is the same thing with Castaway. I don't know if anybody out there has a brush with death, but everything in that movie, every single emotion from almost dying to remember he was suicidal, to love lost, to hope, to hopelessness, to having expectations when he finally, you know, finally, just in case somebody hasn't watched it. In fact, if you really haven't watched the movie, I would advise you, well, scratch it, I would advise you to, I'm not going to advise you to do anything, but if you don't want to know the story of the plot of the movie, stop listening to this, because I'm just going to have to say it. The waiting, the 4 years, the acceptance of he might never even get off the island. And then finally, the universe brings him what? Brings him this outhouse, this piece of an outhouse where he makes a sail out of it. And he plots and he plans and the wind. And he didn't even know. He was willing to leave that island, leave security, for the unknown. This is our life, all of it. Fear, doing it. What is it? What is it? Fear, doing it even if you're afraid. Everything, having this woman that he loved that kept him alive, he said kept him alive on that island for 4.5 years. Finally, he sees her again, and she's, you know, I'm sorry, but no, I've got a life here. Now he's got to start all over again. He's trying. I mean, the despair, the hope, the up, the down, all of it. This movie, Castaway, has every single human plot, every single human experience possible, right? Even to the point of being injured, even to the point of having, with the blood, he hurt his foot and scraped his hand. I don't know. It's just so clear. So in Castaway, the practice to get to that ultimate peace is the gratitude, the acceptance, the awareness, surrendering to what life is, surrendering to your moments without resistance. There was one thing, what does it say? I don't want to show a man conquering his environment, but rather the effect the environment has on him. That's right. Listen. Audience, my dear audience, we are all going to experience countless amounts of life's ups and downs. Countless. That's a given. Can you just accept that it is just the experience without the story? What if the universe says, okay, you're here to experience all of this. You don't need to tell a story. In fact, the story isn't even relevant because you're going to feel all of that. You're going to feel all that. You're going to experience all that without the story. What if all of it is just the story? Hey, Nathan, what if it is just the story? I'm sorry. What if it is just the experience? I got excited because I saw Nathan's number. It is just the experience. It's not the story. It's the season. So there are, listen, for me, I'm getting rid of 98% of this story thing. And I know I had an addiction to the story, and the stories make so much sense, and the stories are justified in the stories. Yeah, of course. But I'm here to tell you the stories are the reason for the suffering. If you insist on keeping your stories, ask yourself this question. How does the story benefit you? What do you receive? What are you receiving when you're holding on to the story? What do you receive from others when you're telling your story? Is it sympathy, compassion, pity, love, bonding, concern, attention? So the story is really... I'm telling you right now, I am abandoning all stories. And this movie, Castaway, with every single element that life can throw at you, this man experienced in that movie. From the ultimate fear of dying, to suicidal thoughts, to love, to lost love, to solitude, to loneliness, to hope, to despair, to triumphant, to uncertainty, a life of uncertainty. And that's all because of his destiny being, was there anything that could have prevented I mean, we could think of 100 things that could have prevented the plane going down, right? Pilot error, mechanical error, whatever you want to call it. But what if his destiny was to be on that island, experience all of that, to get to a place, because you can see the character was not the same man that that landed on that island. In fact, at the end of the movie, which is just so interesting, at the end of the movie, he went to a place where he found peace with, not knowing where to go, not having a direction, starting all over. I mean, it shook him up for a minute, starting all over. And so what if that's us? What if that's all of us experiencing this life with all of the emotions and all of the things attached to it? And maybe that's just it. I'll tell you this. I think that I think that yes, I'm here to experience a range of emotions, a variety of emotions. I'm destined. I don't care from mourning to grief to happiness to questioning to confusion, complicated drama, peace, all of it. All of it's the experience. Am I going to label feeling like shit? Oh, I feel like shit today. Yeah, I'm supposed to experience that too. And what? It's a rainbow of experiences with all different colors. What if I said let go of the story? And you will feed, if you let go of the story, I don't care what the story is, because the practice is to just flow with life. Shitty day, great day, all of it. And then letting go of the label of the shitty day. Listen, if the volcano is erupting, is there a reason why that it's erupting only other than the reason that it's time to erupt? Nathan, you want to say anything about this? Press the number one if you do. If you don't, that's okay too. Oh, hold on. Let's see. Hello. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon.
Good morning, good evening, afternoon. Yes, I would love to come on. I'm loving what you're saying. I'm resonating with all of it. And wouldn't you be so happy to know that I think the volcano is erupting for me this morning.
Ah, yeah!
I thought, what a lovely time to call. Yes.
Well, you know what's interesting? Now, see, you said something that I really, audience, do you understand this? This gentleman, this youngster said, the volcano is erupting, which means you're feeling anger, correct?
Correct.
And
yes.
And he's laughing.
Right. Well, Go ahead. I mean, I called in, yes, volcano was erupting, and then it was, I think it wasn't in peak eruption. It was more like lava just still flowing down the volcano. And then I tuned into you, and you were just talking about what it felt like I was going through. And not attaching a story to it for me means not piecing together why, not making it too complicated. Just not making it too complicated. I'm feeling this way, and my mind is telling me it's about another person. My mind is telling me what I should say next to make it better. my mind is telling me that it's not okay. And mind is saying so many things. But the truth is really simple, and I was angry. And that's it.
I like that you use mind when I say ego. I'm going to have to remember. I like the word mind as opposed to ego. Well, I like both, but mind even makes more sense to me because the mind never shuts up. But did you hear anything about the movie Castaway that I was talking about earlier? Did you hear it or you didn't hear it?
I did. Yeah, I liked it. I liked all the – yes, I did, because you were talking about all the things that he – learned and how he changed, and just he went through the whole spectrum of experiences.
Yeah, everything, including anger, deep anger. And see, okay, so let's get back to what you said about this angry thing and the volcano. And so that's what I'm here to say. I don't know if you listened earlier, but I was talking about at 7 o'clock, I'm at the bank, and somebody tells me, have a good day, and it's 7 o'clock. Now I'm irritated and or annoyed. Did you hear that part?
I didn't, but I've heard stories similar to that before.
Thank you. Well, what I shared on the show was that, and I'm just going to go, really quick. What I shared on the show is, it wasn't what somebody said, have a nice day. It wasn't because a robot told me at 7 in the evening to have a nice day. It was just because it was time for me to feel annoyed. It was time for me to feel bothered. And so I'm letting you know that this Castaway thing, it's not the story. It's the season. I'm really into it. It's the season. It's the season for me to be angry. It's the season for me to lose weight. It's the season for me to gain weight. It's the season for me to feel lonely. It's the season for me to feel bothered, sad, uncertain. It's the season for me to trust. It's the season for me to feel connected. It's the season for me to be in a bad mood. It's the all of it. So this Castaway, Tom Hanks, felt every single emotion in the beginning of that movie to the end of that movie, and he ended the movie with a thank you. His last words were thank you. And so this is it. Every single what if I let go of all of my stories and just accept that it's just the season for me to feel this way? It's just the season for me to experience this and feel this way, and it's nothing else. But then, but I know that the programming for me is to have a story attached to it for a reasoning, and I'm here to say I'm telling my stories. Bye.
You're on fire today. Yeah, that's so hilarious. I love that so much. You said another word earlier when I was listening, just go with the flow. And I'm really into this flow word again, because the flow does contain all of it, all of those things you said, all of the emotions, the experiences. And the flow also includes the airplane crashing and landing on that island, if you want to use that Castaway example of what Tom Hanks or the character in the movie was feeling in the plane, or what he was doing on the plane, whether he was thinking about someone or something. That plane had a trajectory, and it was going to go there no matter what he was thinking or doing or feeling. So this flow that I am starting to really feel and accept that there's something that I'm not controlling at all. And am I going with it? Yeah, you heard me. Please don't make me repeat it. It hurts. I don't know if your listeners know, but it really hurts to say that I'm not in control of something. So, so that flow is always going to keep going. And I think that flow contains all of the emotions and experiences and, yeah, and I also don't want to – I do like to know a little bit about what's going on, or maybe a little bit of analysis or thoughtfulness. But like you have said before, I don't know if you're still into this, about the stories being, if it's three words or more, it's suspect for story, meaning suspect, to not even be true, to just be something my mind made up.
Yes. Yes, it's the three-word rule. If it's more than three words, it's a story. And the story is always authored by the mind. And so my question, this is a question to you. Okay, here we go. You ready?
All right. Yeah, I'm ready.
And I said it earlier, I said, how does the story benefit you?
Oh, my God, that was such a good question.
So now that I have you live, what do you receive from, so how does the story benefit you? What do you receive, and what do you receive from the others telling your story, if you receive anything?
The first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. The first thing that came to mind that I receive is just drama, just drama, meaning something interesting for me. And what I receive from others, the word that's coming to me is attention. I feel like I get attention when I have a dramatic story. With a lot of people involved and something I've thought about and the reasonings and then why it made me do this. And yeah, I feel like I get attention from a dramatic story. And I'll just say something that I've noticed with me is sometimes when I'm having tiffs with somebody, especially somebody that has been in my life a while or that I really believe cares about me or loves me or I love them. If there's a tiff, sometimes I believe it's just because we just wanted to spend time together. And maybe it's because we haven't talked or hung out or something. There's something I'm onto with that.
That's really interesting conclusion.
Yeah.
And that is the story. That is the story that you're telling yourself, but that is an interesting conclusion.
Yes, and it is the story. And I just wanted to add on, and this is another story, but it's a conclusion that might have some truth in it about just wanting attention, even if it's negative attention, or even if it's yes. And how sometimes because it's like, I remember times in relationships if I would, I think I learned if I was upset with them about something, that they would text me back, or they would call me back sooner.
That's right.
So I think I have that. So there's something there.
Well, let me cop to it right now. You learned that from your mother. Because it's a manipulation and a control thing. If you don't give me attention or you don't respond, then I'm going to escalate it and I'm going to
right.
go crazy.
Right.
Yeah, so that it's just a whole control, manipulation, all of that kind of stuff. And but see the for me, what I was wanting from someone else, I had to find it within myself. Wanting anything from someone else. Anything. I mean, you know, unless you say, hey, can you help me move this couch? It's different. But wanting any kind of, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. Because it's never going to be all the way filled up. You know, in other words, okay, it's a gas tank. So it's always going to go empty. It's going to go empty. It's going to go empty. And you got to fill it up, go empty. That's why I'm the only one that can fill up my own gas tank.
Yeah, I'm into that too. I'm trying to think of a good metaphor, but I like the gas tank just going to the same spot for gas. And yeah, well, I don't know. There's something there to that about wanting something from someone else in that way. Because one time they might do it, and then another time they might not do it, and it's just a gamble.
It's not sustainable.
Yes, thank you.
It's not sustainable, and that's why when we talk, I talk about needing something from someone, and it's not about, well, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. That's not what I'm saying. It's really there. I need someone to call me. I need someone to pay attention to me. I need someone to care about me. I need someone to all of those needs. I need someone to listen to me. I need someone to. It for me, it is just a trap. It's never sustainable, and it's just letting go and trusting that I get everything I need in every moment, whether that's from my environment or it might be from a person, or meaning that contact. But me, I need this, so I have to make something happen. It just relax,
right,
and know that I will get everything I need, and that's with people, that's with anything, whatever I
need, I have. Yeah, I really love this mantra. Whatever I need, I have, and I'm thinking of reducing the stories. I say I need to be listened to. Or I feel like right now, or in this moment, it's always going to be this moment. I feel I need to be listened to, and how I'm listened to. So if I start speaking, that, like you said, it might be speaking to a friend, it might be speaking to a stranger, it might be speaking to a tree, it might be speaking to faith. Maybe it's speaking in the mirror, or it's speaking to a squirrel. Maybe the squirrel is listening to me. So who am I to say I need to be listened to by this person in this way, in this specific way? Because I think, like what you said, for me, that's going to be a recipe for disaster, because they will most likely not do it. And if they do it in that way that I think I wanted or expected, then it's just training me to believe that they're going to do it again next time. So it's like a letdown, setting myself up.
Not
for
like a letdown. It is a letdown.
Not like a letdown. It is a letdown. Yes. Jeez.
Yeah, that's not sustainable.
Yeah. So I'm willing to be listened to by a tree these days, by a rug. I'll take whatever, the universe. I'm not choosy these days. Yes.
Well, I have to tell you that I had a conversation the other day with one of the plants in my bedroom.
Yes. All right. And we'll how did that go?
It went very well, and it's the first time I talked.
Yeah.
Very talked to this plant, and I discovered that this plant had a face.
Oh.
And so I named the plant Face, because all of his leaves are facing the sun, and they look like a it looks like a face to me. Now, probably doesn't look like a face to anybody else, but it looks like a face to me. And if anybody's listening, that's right, I'm crazy, and so what? So I called this plant Face. I called him Face, and I call him Face. He's the only one with a name.
Yeah, I don't remember you having names for other plants. So we got a plant with the name Face. Is this one of the newer plants?
No, it's the plant in the corner. It's the plant in the corner, and the room near the couch.
No.
I took a picture of him. I'll send him your picture. But yeah, he's Face, and he's the only one with face. And it only happened that one day, and I had a nice little conversation. I kept, Stanza, you have a face.
Yeah, I've seen faces in the trees before.
And so there you go.
Yeah, I love that. I love what's comforting to me, and what also is requires trust on my part is what I need, I will get. I might not, I don't know how I'm going to get it or when or in what way, but trusting that at what I need, I will get.
How about this? What you need, you have.
Oh, God. What
yeah,
I, what
it's not
I
about
need,
getting.
Right,
yeah, what
true.
You need, you have. You have what you need at all in all moments.
I like that. I like have what I need. I like getting. I'm getting what I need if it's
you're,
in this moment, and yes, I'm getting it, like
mm-hmm.
receiving it right now, coming to me.
Mhm. 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 Hey, now it'll be $500.
All right. Well, that's a small price to pay.
Well, some people think it's an exorbitant amount to pay.
Right. I guess it depends on how much we think peace costs.
And thank you for that. Or how much do you value? I mean, listen, I don't know. This is just number one for me. It might not be number
mm-hmm.
one for the majority, but it's number one for me. And I'm just,
mm-hmm.
I'm riding it. I'm riding it all the way out.
Yeah. And then can you just cap it with what we mean by peace? And we talk about underneath the surface of the waves, because I don't want to be rolling around here thinking I'm Lottie dying all day.
No, it's not about Lottie dying all day, but again, you said the ocean, and we were going to go back to the castaway, because that's the theme of the song today, the show today, Castaway. And so in the ocean, when his plane crashed, and even when he made his escape, you know, the ocean, on the surface of the ocean, there could be waves, there could be a tsunami, there could be a storm, there could be up and down, especially if you're in the ocean. But at the bottom of the ocean, it is always peaceful, always. It's so peaceful down there. Some parts of the ocean, in different oceans, there's not even any sun. And do you know that bacteria and things still can live when there's no sun?
Yeah, me? Yes, I do know that. I know that from watching National Geographic with you.
Mm-hmm.
All conditions. So, all conditions. Yes, all conditions.
We are the ocean. We are the ocean, and at the bottom, at the core of who we are, the consciousness, the uber consciousness, at the core of who we are, is always peace, and quiet, and calm, and ease, and content, and balance, and flow, and quiet. That's under all of the waves on the top. And so the waves on the top is just part of the journey. The waves on the top is just part of the experience. Yeah, I'm gonna get tumbled around. I'm gonna get knocked around. I'm gonna have this feeling. I'm gonna be scared. I'm gonna, he was suicidal. I've had what if I killed myself? Who hasn't thought that? Now there's some of us braver than others, but thank you, Robin Williams. That's a very bad joke, but
right,
yeah.
Right. But no, of course.
So
and. All those thoughts, and I was just going to say those waves are the ocean, and the bottom of the ocean is the ocean, and the middle of the ocean is the ocean, and it's all connected and included. So whether I like the waves more or like the deep ocean more, it's I still accept the fact that it's all the ocean. It's all part of the same piece.
Yes. And I contend that when you really practice this and you really commit in practicing the self-awareness, I contend I can be erupting. I could be a volcano in full eruption. In full eruption. And in an instant, I can be at peace. And how I'm saying that I'm not now. Sometimes I'm going to be full eruption, and I'll stay full eruption for until I simmer. But I can go from full eruption to instant peace, because if I'm talking to you and I'm angry, and you say something funny to me, I'm going to go into instant laughter. I mean, it's and I've had conversations with you when I'm crying. And then you say something funny, and you make me cry when I'm laughing. Laugh when I'm crying. I did that to somebody the other day. She was crying to me, and I said something, and I made her laugh. She said, "I'm laughing when I'm crying." So if I can laugh when I cry, and I can go from the top anger and then go to instant peace, I mean, there's nothing more peaceful to me than laughing. Really,
yeah,
laughing.
I do. I like that. I like that a lot. I have this thing about momentum and following momentum, but maybe momentum can be really quick sometimes.
Not
just
maybe.
Expanding my,
definitely.
My...
Yeah.
Well.
Stop on
yeah.
a dime. Stop on a dime. Turn this way. Turn that way. Shift. Quick. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's fast. That's what I'm saying. We experience all of it. Fast, slow, take a long time, take a short time. Look at the universe with the Big Bang. I mean, that happened zip, bam. And then,
yeah,
you know how
true.
Many billions and billions of years it took for it to form?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So that momentum, yeah, you have to feel momentum. That's a, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I'm telling you, momentum. Listen, I can switch up momentum, mother. I can switch up momentum.
I need more momentum. That's right. Yeah.
To wrap everything up, you know, for me, it's not to take any of this shit so seriously. None of it.
Right.
From the life to the relationships to this, do I have this moment, that moment? Take it seriously? It's important? No. Mm-mm. Nope. Lighten up. It's not serious. Not, even the anger isn't as serious. None of it. Let's lighten up.
Right. Whatever. If the volcano erupts, it's gonna cool off. If it's cool off, it'll heat up. If it heats up, it's gonna dry up. Like things can change. Things can adapt.
And I'm going to say this. You're more than a volcano. You and me, we're more. See, the volcano can only do one thing, erupt
right.
or be dormant. See,
that's
the volcano,
true.
If it's erupting, is not going to stop erupting. No.
Right,
see, we can,
right.
see, we're more than a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like them
that.
Apples? I just came out of my where.
Like it. Yeah, no, I like that. And I think that I like being more than a volcano, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday. I want to thank Nathan, my one and only son, for joining the show. What a great contribution. I just love when he calls in. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific, Pacific Standard Time, and my website's going to be maybe launched in another couple of weeks. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn, and my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. You can find a few videos of me on YouTube. That's right. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out sometime this year. And until next time, my third book, I just the title, it's not the story, it's the season. Either it's going to be a chapter, but it's not the story, it's the season, is the third book. Until next time, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, happiness specialist Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment will reflect what you practice. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Oh, love, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
Reality, spirituality.
I've got a question for RLN.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.